This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you tune in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. My name's Daryl Ong, and with the Commonwealth Games coming up, due to be held from April the 4th to the 15th in Gold Coast, Australia, this week on the show, we preview the games with Datuk Seri Kok Chee, currently the Olympic Council of Malaysia's Assistant Secretary General, and also a veteran athlete representing the country in water polo from the 60s to the 70s. 128 athletes will be at Gold Coast, flying high the Jalur Gemilang, and together with Harish Dio, three of us talk expectations and predictions from the Malaysian contingent. We talk medal targets and whether they're putting unnecessary pressure on athletes, and also on the Olympic Council of Malaysia's decision to opt out of hosting the 2022 Commonwealth Games. Here's OCM's Datuk Seri Kok Chee.
The first multi-sport games in which OCM participated was in 1954. That was the Asian Games in Manila. So since then, it's been over 60 years, and we have gained a lot of experience, and also we have gained a lot of partners, one of which is the National Sports Council. And we work together in preparing the team. So I think by now we are more or less our veterans in preparation of teams for the games.
Datuk Seri, why do you think sports officials have been keeping a tight lip over the medal prospect ahead of the Commonwealth Games in Gold Coast? In fact, an announcement was just made days ago by the Youth and Sports Minister Khairi Jamaluddin that it sets a target of more than 6 gold medals and a top 10 finish.
Well, I am a little bit surprised as well with this sort of fear or reluctance to give a target. Prior to that, we have always been set some targets, because I think it is natural and it is good to have some targets. Why are we have now so concerned or a little bit worried about not setting targets? And perhaps it started off in 2014 when the Malaysian contingent was deemed to have failed in the Glasgow Commonwealth Games, yeah, when they only got 6, when the target was around 10 or 8, you see. So after that, I think there was quite a lot of hoo-ha by actually the present minister. And after that, people are a little bit worried. And now, of course, the minister himself is faced with being asked what is the target. So he is also, since he was quite strict about the failure to achieve the target, so now he's a little bit wary setting his own targets.
Setting targets is one thing, you know, for us as a nation, you know, we support our athletes. But on the athlete side, do you think that setting such a target, 10 gold medals or top 10 finish, would it add pressure to and affect their performance, or do you think it would drive them to finish up at the podium?
No, I don't think so, because I think every athlete have their own target. So if they don't have target, then they might as well not go to the Commonwealth Games. So either they want to set their best performance, or they want to break a record or win some medals. Like people like Datuk Lee Chong Wei, I think he has already even motivated his teammates by saying that we must win the medals. So I don't think there's much pressure on the athletes. I think it's better for them. Because if they don't set a target, or like for instance, if Datuk Lee Chong Wei say he's not going to win the gold medal, that means he's admitting defeat even before going.
Right.
So this may give encouragement to the other, to his opponents. So the least he has to say is that his target is to win the gold medal, isn't it? I say like Pandalela, all those people, if they are saying that I am not sure, I mean, this may give encouragement to their opponents, for one, and then secondly, it shows the lack of confidence.
You had in your Facebook posting recently said that perhaps not setting a target would mean trying to avoid the public scrutiny that may come after, in a sense that, you know, afraid of being lambasted by the media, for starters. Do you think that's the case? It's all about managing expectations to say something like more than 6 and that's about it?
Well, I think whatever you do, as I say, in sports, there's a saying that damn you do it and damn you don't. So that is the problem, because there will always be critics and there will always be supporters. So are you trying to please? Who are you trying to please? I think one must have some basic honesty and some basic facts. I mean, we don't set targets just plucked from the air.
Right.
We have to look at statistics. We have to look at our opponents. And I think it is, to me, it's a very interesting, a very challenging job.
I'm glad you said that, because at the end of the day, taxpayers' money are being used, invested heavily on our athletes. And to not have any form of targets would send a wrong signal to the masses.
I guess it means we're not interested on the returns, right?
Yes, and also it could also mean that, you know, we've invested so much and what is it that we are looking at the end of the day?
Well, based on past statistics, we have improved our performance. I mean, prior to 1994, we were only winning medals in badminton and badminton and weightlifting. Mm. So we have improved since 1998. Now we are winning medals in about 8 to 10 sports. Now, secondly, our athlete standard has improved a lot. But of course, other countries, the standard of other countries has also gone up. So we should, since we have already identified and also announced such programs such as Podium Program or KJ Program and all these things, we have got to justify and we have got to prove that they are successful. Mm. So if we don't set targets, it means that we are actually avoiding we are scared to face the truth.
Right.
I mean, whether we are successful Podium Program or we are not successful, we have to come to a conclusion by 2020. We can't escape it.
Speaking of, you know, different contingents going over to Gold Coast, do you think that the contingent that we are sending over to Gold Coast is stronger than the one we sent to Glasgow, your personal opinion?
Well, I would say that, of course, they are our best athletes. But this time, the Commonwealth Games has made a bit of change. They set some certain quotas, and they say that they only give us so many places. Besides the team sports like hockey, men and women, and basketball women, other sports, they just gave a total number. Now, to me, I felt that this is a little bit restrictive in the sense that why should they tell us who we should send? So we have to really sacrifice some up-and-coming athletes because there are just not enough of quota places for right. all of them.
Back to targets. And prior to the show, Dato' Siah and I were just speaking about, you know, who do you think would, among our athletes, would bring back the gold medal. According to my list, it would be more than six, but I don't know whether we can make the top 10 given the previous editions where you need at least 10 gold medals. But your prediction, you believe that we can get gold medals from at least 9 athletes?
Yes.
Would you care to elaborate, sir?
I think we will get at least 3. Now, diving, I just say 1. Then lawn bowls, we have 1. Shooting, we have 1. Weightlifting, we have 1. Gymnastics, 1. And squash, 1.
And all this, your predictions are based off previous results?
Yes, based on papers, not only the last 5 games results, and at the same time also look at the performance of other athletes.
Right, yeah. And Harish, you were saying that 9 gold medals is not enough to get us into our target of the top 10.
Well, this is strictly based on the 2 previous editions, whereby if we look at the top 10 list, you are looking at 10 gold medals to be part of that list. So, yeah, need that at least 10 gold medals, if not more, to secure ourselves in that top 10 list. Given the current situation, the current performance by our athletes, I know they will do well at the Commonwealth Games. I hope they will peak in time. But bearing in mind that their competition as well, the other competitors, it's going to be quite a tricky affair unless if we see, you know, magical instances that happen in Gold Coast.
I mean, that all aside, 9 gold medals does seem like a good result and a good return.
Yeah, I think it is simpler to target the gold medals because we look at the individuals and we look at the sports and we look at our opponents. But to go on the ranking is a little bit more difficult because I would say that the strong countries are Australia, England, Scotland, Canada, South Africa, and a few others. Now, those who are about around our range would be New Zealand, Kenya, Jamaica, India. To me, this is my favorite subject, is that it depends on the host. when Delhi hosted the games in 2010, they are not a very strong country. So they might have, normally they win about 5% of the gold medals. Mm. And then when they host, they may win 10%. That means there's still 90% left for the other countries. But when Glasgow hosted the games, they do normally win 30, and because they were host, they won 50. So there are only 50% of medals left for the other countries to win. So this will be the same thing happening in the Gold Coast, because Australia will win the lion's share of the medals.
Going back to your Facebook, recent Facebook posting, yes, I've been stalking you on Facebook. You said that Malaysia, and I quote in verbatim, yeah, Malaysia does not need, really need any foreign consultants to teach Malaysians on how to develop sports. Could you kindly elaborate?
As I said, we have been doing sports for more than 50 years. And we were a strong sporting nation all the time. I mean, not only in terms of winning medals, but I think overall in terms of our participation, our knowledge, and our expertise. In fact, many other countries look up to Malaysia as being one of the sort of up-and-coming countries in sports development.
Right.
Now, why I say that for the 1998 Commonwealth Games, there was Jaya 98. When we bid for the games, we had certain objectives also. Certainly, to spend all those money, we have to win some medals. So actually, OCM and the MSN, we worked out a strategy, and we picked the sports and the events where we think we have a good chance. Like for instance, MSN put in a lot of funds to develop diving, and to develop weightlifting and lawn bowls and netball. So what actually happened is that I think in yesterday's Star, Leo Manyi actually cited that the Jaya 98 was the one who really raised the standard of diving. And I think in case of lawn bowls, I think Malaysia is one of the first countries to change the whole culture of lawn bowls from a senior citizen's sport to a young person's sport. Today, most of the good athletes in lawn bowls are young people, not veterans. Mm. So these are things which we have done, actually. And all of those were done by Malaysians. I would give credit to Dato' Wira Maslan, of MSN, the Director General of MSN then, for putting up all the ideas. And from there, we have managed to sustain our improvement with other programs, and we have done quite well. So, but I am a little bit, I mean, we do need some expertise, like for instance, in lawn bowls or some coaches and all these things. Mm. But we don't need somebody to come and really run the program for us.
Right.
That's what I mean. So in the case like podium program, I think we have got at one time Kids Power and all these people to be in charge of the program. I think we should always have Malaysians to be in charge, and to have Malaysians just only getting foreign experts to come in place in areas where we have some shortage of expertise or experience.
It's sad that we have the likes of, like you rightly pointed out, Dato' Wira Maslan, you yourself, you were involved in 98 games, the 2001 SEA Games, both hosted in Kuala Lumpur. But yet, we don't see the participation of the elders in the current structure or the mechanics to take nation sports forward. Why do you think that's the case? Why have, the way I see it, the elders have just been sidelined?
Well, I think there is. I think it is a good thing for younger people to come in, but I think there should be and could be more teamwork on it. First of all, the seniors or the older people who have retired, we are no threats to the young people.
Threat,
but
yeah,
we can, and certainly we are no threats, and we would like them to do better than us, because that is what progress is all about. And we are prepared to, I think many of us are prepared to contribute something. But unfortunately, I think the system is such that that it has become very bureaucratic in a certain extent.
Okay.
And the people now, some people want to claim ownership. I think this is not a very good thing to claim ownership. There's no real individual ownership. The sports belongs to everybody, to all Malaysians, and everybody can contribute a little. Some can contribute through funding or through ideas and all sorts of things. So I agree with Harish that there should be more consultation, more discussions, and so that we really have what they call Team Malaysia, really not only in terms in words but in action and in facts.
Right. Sadly, some people think that they own Malaysian sports.
Datuk, it's great that you brought up the whole issue of, you know, older players giving their experience to younger players. In this contingent, Datuk Lee Chong Wei and Datuk Nicole David are some of the seasoned players actually joining the team to go to Gold Coast. You yourself, Datuk, were a long-time sportsman, represented Malaysia in water polo. Do you think young athletes these days, that they are benefiting a lot more as compared to back in the day?
Yes, I think, as I say, because the Olympic Games has become more competitive, you have to qualify to go. Now, so in order to qualify, you must have high-level competitions. So now we are using the Asian Games and Commonwealth Games to send a younger, promising, I think, athletes like Azizul, Josiah. If they had not gone to Commonwealth Games, where the standard is very high, but they don't need to qualify to go, so they went and they took part and they won medals, and that gave them the boost, their confidence for the Olympics. And that's how I see Azizul winning a bronze medal at Rio. So there are, I think there are many up-and-coming young athletes like Naraj Singh and all those people. They will do well. And I think they can also use Datuk Lee and Datuk Lee, Nicole David as a mentor or as role models to sustain their progress in sports.
Yeah, in fact, just to add on, Leong Mani would also be another, what you call, seasoned campaigner for this coming games, because she was there at the 98 Commonwealth Games.
So 20 years ago.
20 years ago.
Yes.
Now, you're still young, Manny.
Yeah, she was only 14 when she was
there.
In 1998. So you can see
how
the Commonwealth Games had helped her.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we opted out of our bid of the 2022 Commonwealth Games. Quoting OCM, OCM said that the timing is not suitable for Malaysia to host the 2022 edition. It was ultimately given to Birmingham, England. I mean, we compare it to 20 years ago, 98 KL, when we hosted the Games. What do you think we lack this year, and what was the thought process behind opting out of the bid?
Well, I think, you see, I was very involved in the 91 bid, the 98 bid. That was we did it in 91. And there were a few strategy and a few vision. One of which we said that the Commonwealth Games, we changed the Commonwealth Games, actually. The Commonwealth Games is not supposed to be a second division Olympic Games. Because at that time, the Olympic Games was very small and actually was not very attractive. So we say we have to make the Commonwealth Games stand on its own right.
Right.
And so we introduced team sport, like rugby seven, netball, all these sports came in. You know, rugby seven went into the Olympics after the Commonwealth Games. So that made the Commonwealth Games more attractive. And also we actually built a new whole new games village and a lot of sports structure. The Commonwealth Games before that, 94 in Victoria, Canada, and also in Auckland. I didn't go to Victoria, in Auckland. It was really the low key.
Low key.
Yeah, low key. So, but we have brought it up to, as everybody say, we raised the bar, no, and became very attractive. But now, I also feel disappointed that having the Commonwealth Games having made itself much higher level has suddenly become very expensive for the host to hold, for any country to host. I think they demand quite a large sum for sanction fees and all sorts of things, you know.
Right.
And I think, and I was one of those who were against the bidding for the Commonwealth Games for 2022 because it was not worth it. Just to spend on contributions to the other countries to come, I think we might as well use the money for our own development.
What do you think of Malaysia's chances in Australia? Will it be a memorable or another forgettable outing?
Well, I think in Malaysia, we have always been a great sporting country. And while winning is important, but it's not the only thing. I think our athletes are young and are very attractive young Malaysians. I think it will make Malaysians proud, and the whole world will see our young athletes performing to their best. I think whether winning a medal or not, I think is not important. But I think what they should do is try their best
represent.
And if their best is better than the others, then they win some medals. If their best is not as good as others, it is they have to work harder for the next games, that's all. Mm. But overall, I think it will certainly enhance Malaysia's image, Malaysia's reputation as a sporting nation. And I'm sure our athletes will make Malaysia proud.
178 athletes will be travelling to Gold Coast. Anything, if any of them are listening now, what would you like to say to them? Words of encouragement?
Well, I hope they try their best and always remember that they must maintain a good image of Malaysia and make all of us at home proud of them.
Final question, Datuk. Just looking ahead in 2018, what are some of the main priorities this year for OCM?
The main item will, of course, be our elections for the next session. It's getting very interesting, and may the best candidate win.
I must add that this, you will not be standing for election.
I will be 80 this year. Okay. And I actually, unfortunately, I have lost my hearing. My hearing is not so good. My eyesight also not so good. So as a joke, I say that instead of three monkeys, I've become one monkey. I can't see, I can't hear, and I can't speak too well. So at one time, I retire.
No, but we're going to really miss you. That's for sure.
Thank you.
Looking back, what are some of the highlights of your OCM career?
I mean, we have done many events, and the Commonwealth Games was one of them. We have also made bids for the Asian Games, which we failed. We also bid for the World for the Youth Olympics, which we did not succeed, as well as also the 2008 Olympic Games. Well, I had the opportunity to get a lot of experience. It was good fun. I always consider sports as fun, and I hope my successors and all the others will maintain and sustain the progress we have made.
Many thanks to Datuk Sia Kok Chee of the Olympic Council of Malaysia for taking the time to join us on today's show. And with that, we've come to the end of this week's episode. Do remember that if you'd like to check out the podcast, head over to www.pfm.my. It'll be up shortly. If you'd like to get in touch with us, do tweet us. We are at PFM Radio, and also download our PFM app via Google Play and the App Store. You have been tuning in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week right here on PFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.